If you will, can you turn your Bibles to Romans chapter 8? Romans chapter 8. We're going to be looking here in Romans chapter 8, the doctrine that we've been going over about our sonship, about our being sons, living on to God, being led by the Spirit, being ones who are the called according to His purpose. And this doesn't consist of, or this doesn't talk about the saint who has just understood some doctrine and things like that. This is talking about the mature saint is what we're going over here. We're going over ones that want to cry out to Father, ones who are the called according to His purpose. And we're going to be looking here at these things here. So turn your Bibles to Romans chapter 8, and let's take a look at verse 26. Verse 26. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. And you notice here in verse 27, verse 26, it says, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us. And, you know, I had said intercessions, but you have to notice it doesn't say intercessions. It says maketh intercession. And when you look in verse 27, it said intercession, again, not intercessions, plural. And the main reason for that is that, yes, it does make intercessions for us when we utilize it in our times of need and the time that which we need to change that task, that do things according to the will of God. But it doesn't say intercessions here because it's produced a way. It's a produced way according to His will, according to His purpose. And that's the way. That's why it says they make intercession. That is the path that we ought to choose. But in our daily life, when we utilize God's word, and that's what's going to be making the way, that's what's going to be making intercession for you, is His word. His word is going to give to you the will of God. His word is going to give to you the things according to His purpose. You're going to be led by the Spirit, which is being led by His word. That's where the intercession come in. The intercession comes in from the Holy Ghost ministry, which was taught, which was given unto the men that spoke it, and put on the pages of the book that we see here in front of us by God's word. God's word was given unto men as they wrote and penned this down. That's the ministry of the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost. And we see that. We see how the Spirit itself and what beareth witness with our spirit. And that's the way it ought to be. You ought to take God's word and bear witness with what's being said here with your spirit. And we've seen them things when we looked at the doctrine found in 1 Corinthians. When in 1 Corinthians we see about how that about that natural man, in the natural man, how he doesn't judge things, he doesn't know how to spiritually discern things. But the spiritual man, he knows how to judge, and we're going to look at that. And then even looking over in Second Corinthians, how it talks about that, Paul talks about ye are our epistle, written in our hearts. Known, read of all men. He talks about that how the Spirit of the living God, which is how is written in fleshly tables of the heart. That's the way it ought to be. So now, if you will, can you turn your Bibles to, we'll look at the Psalms. Let's come to Psalms 44. We went over this doctrine before. We're going to go over it again because we're going to close this section out here, these verses out, and we're going to pick things up in verse 28 here. But let's look at Psalms 44, and let's look at verse 18. Psalms 44, verse 18. Our heart is not turned back, neither have our steps declined from thy way. Though thou hast sore broken us in the place of dragons and covered us with the shadow of death, if we have forgotten the name of our God or stretched out our hands to a strange God, shall not God search this out? For he knoweth the secrets of the heart. Yea, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. And again, when you're looking at this here, you're looking at the fact that God searches the hearts. As we've seen in verse 27, Romans 8, verse 27, about that heart searching that God does. And his word, again, we're going to see how his word is what he hopes to find in it, in your heart. He's hoping to find his ways, his word working effectually within you. And you see in the Psalms there it says, our heart is not turned back, neither have our steps declined from thy way. Well, thy way will be found in what he's told them. What he told them how they ought to walk. And verse 21, shall not God search this out? For he knoweth the secrets of the heart. Let's come over to Psalms 139. Psalms 139. And, you know, you see there about how God searches the heart. But as he's searching, he's hoping to, he wants to find a son that has come to think like he does. That way he can do things his way. And when those two things are accomplished, he's going to, or should, ought to labor with him in what he's doing, and what the Lord's doing. Psalms 139, and let's look at verse 1. To the chief musician, a psalm of David. O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my down sitting and my uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down, and art acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. Thou hast beset me behind and before, and laid thy hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high, I cannot attain unto it. Whither shall I go from thy spirit, or whither shall I flee from thy presence? And you see here, again, there's heart searching here of the Lord, and it's heart searching of that son that the Lord knows, and he's looking upon that son's. As you see in verse 2, thou knowest my down sitting and my uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Thou compassest my path and my laying down, and art acquainted with all my ways. See, that acquaintance, that being acquainted, that father-to-son relationship, that father-to-son relationship would have the father understanding and knowing knowing the sun's down sitting, the sun's uprising. But that searching of the heart knows what that son has within him. Knowing whether that path, that ways, those ways are going to be according to the path and ways of the Lord. And it says, verse 4, there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou hast known it altogether. And how does the Lord know it? Because he's acquainted with it. And when you get to know someone, you get to be acquainted with that person. It's not just you do what I say, here's my law, you abide by it. It's you see a father to son. And it's the Psalm of David. When we looked at the Proverbs, we looked at a father to son relationship there. Verse 5, thou hast beset me behind and before. Lay thy hand upon me. When you look upon someone as Paul told Timothy, he talks about that putting on of hands. And this is not how people say in Christendom today about laying on of hands and things like that, and you're going to get some supernatural powers. When you look upon it as a workmanship, when you look upon when someone says, the laying on of hands, or he says, thou lay thy hand upon me, that's that work there that you can almost look at it as a person forming clay. And it's done by his word, not by God actually laying his hand or a father laying his hand on his son. But he's actually, we see also all throughout the Bible when God talks about how things were, how he formed things with his own hands. It's such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain unto it. And we saw that weeks ago about how, about he's not saying he'll never get it. This is how he values it. He values it as unattainable. Whither shall I go from thy spirit, or whither shall I flee from thy presence? He's saying, the Lord's going to search him out, as we've seen there. And he knows this. He could not flee from his presence. Let's come over to Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 20 here. Proverbs chapter 20. Let's take a look at a couple other issues of how that searching out goes on there, and how when it says that he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Proverbs chapter 20, listen to verse 24. Man's goings are of the Lord. How can a man then understand his own way? It is a snare to the man who devoureth that which is holy, after the vows to make inquiry. A wise king scattereth the wicked and bringeth the wheel over them. The spirit of man is the candle of the Lord, searching all the inward parts of the belly. And you see what it says in verse 24, man's goings are of the Lord. And that's the way it ought to be. Man's goings are supposed to be of the Lord. That was the way it was intended. Not that God made man to just go his own way. Just to look at him as the way you see the animals do today. How can a man understand then, how can a man then understand his own way? And you ought to understand the value there that's being spoke about, the way of the Lord versus the way of man. It is a snare to the man who devoureth that which is holy. After vows to make inquiry. A wise king scattereth the wicked and bringeth the wheel over them. And that's the way it ought to be. The spirit of man is the candle of the Lord, searching all the inward parts of the belly. You see what's being said there about the spirit of man, how the Lord uses the spirit of man as a candle to search all the inward parts of the belly. And like we've seen in the Psalms, where could I hide? You're not going to, when God searches the hearts, he knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit. It's that inward man there is where that searching is going on at. And he wants to see that you have what you have in your heart. And we know that he knows all the heart, all the inward parts. But he wants to, and even in prayer, he wants to hear it from the man, from the son, and the father, the son, a relationship there. But the searching of the heart is not only done in prayer, but that is done based upon the issues of God's will. And we see this is how it's done. It's done based upon his will, his purpose. Let's come over to Jeremiah and you can see how that's put into practice there. Jeremiah chapter 17, let's take a look at verse 7. Jeremiah 17, let's look at verse 7 here. Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, whose hope the Lord is. Yeah, let me stop there because that's what a blessed man is. Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, his word, and whose hope the Lord is. For he shall be a tree planted by the waters, and that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when heat cometh, but her leaf shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. The heart is deceitfully above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search at the heart. I try the reins, even give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. And you see here, the Lord says, I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, even give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doing. Because, yes, verse 9, the heart is deceitfully above all things and desperately wicked. That's the way it is with the natural man. That natural man has, if he's going on his own ways, like we see in the proverb, Proverb 20 said, man's goings are the Lord. How can a man that understand his own way? See, because if that's the way you would do things, you would go based upon your own heart. You would be basing upon things above, you'd be trusting in your own way. But we're told in verse 7 here, we're supposed to trust in the Lord. That's where our hope ought to be, in the Lord. Because our hearts are desperately wicked. And we don't want to have a desperately wicked heart. a heart that is deceitfully above all things, as the Lord searches it. The Lord says he tries the reins to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his doings. Let's come over to Corinthians, 1 Corinthians. Now again, we already went over this doctrine here. All the doctrine we're going over, this is just a refresher of it. This is to make sure we get everything and go back over the doctrine so we'll understand it a little clearly now based upon what we went over last week. I thought it necessary to go back over this doctrine based upon what we went over last week. So, again, let's come to 1 Corinthians, and let's look at chapter 2. And we're going to look at that heart, and we're going to look at the spirit, how it searcheth all things. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, let's look at verse 9. But as it is written, I have not seen, nor ear heard, neither hath entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love God, love him. I'm going to stop there because, you see, I have not seen, nor ear heard, neither entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. And you remember we see, we just looked at this. We just looked at this earlier about how that about that man, about that heart, and the things that he says neither hath entered into the heart of man, the things which God has prepared for him, for them. See, we looked at it before about how Jeremiah, when it talks about the heart that the Lord searches, and man not understanding his own way and things like that in the Proverbs. It's something that we ought to understand that these things have not entered into the heart, the natural man. But God wants to, but the ones that love him, you're going to see what ought to take place here. Look at verse 10. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. And that Spirit is God's Word. His Word. And his Word, and you're going to see later on here, in the next few verses, how that Spirit works. And that's how it's been revealed unto us. It said, hath revealed them unto us. God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. It's revealed in his Word. The deep things of God. That's what's going to be searching in your heart. That's what the Spirit's going to search. That's what's going to be searched out in your heart to see if you have those things. If the idea of the Spirit bears witness with our spirit. That's how you see the Spirit. It says the Spirit searcheth all things. And you notice before the Lord said, I, the Lord, search the heart. But God's word, the Spirit searcheth all things also. How it searcheth all things is it searches by way of the bearing of witness with our spirit. If you are being led by that Spirit. And I hope this is making sense here, that the idea that we're looking at in verse 10, it says, God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. That's by God's Word. And God's Word searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. That's how it ought to be with them that love him, with the ones who are the called according to his purpose. Verse 11, for what man knoweth the things of man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. That's the way it ought to be. The Spirit of God is what we wish we're going to be judging things by. The Spirit of God is what we're going to be is what we ought to have within us. And when the search of the heart takes place, God sees what's in the Son, how he's able to judge things. And let's see that there. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things we also speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. And you notice, it's saying not in man's words, but which the Holy Ghost words, which the Holy Ghost teaches. That's the Spirit. And you see the words for which things we speak, and the things that are freely given to us of God, is we find that in God's Word. The Holy Ghost is teaching this. The Holy Ghost ministry, which is the Spirit. That's how the Holy Ghost is teaching. It's teaching what? The deep things of God. It's teaching what? By the Spirit, that's how the Spirit searches all things. The things freely given to you of God is in his Word. It's the Spirit. Verse 14, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. This is about having that knowledge of things of the Spirit. It's mind. It's that mind of the Spirit. Let's look at verse 15 here. But he that is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is judge of no man. See, that's about you making decisions and judging things with your mind. You thinking like the Spirit. That's sonship. That's you being able to take his Word, which the Holy Ghost teacheth, which the Spirit, who's it teaching? It's teaching the Son. You take God's Word and be educated by that. And as you're educated by it, as your heart has, you're one that, like as Jeremiah says, blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, whose hope the Lord is. When you're a saint and a son like that, says you're considered spiritual. That's spiritual minded. And when you're that way, you can judge all things. Yet he himself is judge of no man. You're not going to be judge of any man, other man, because you're not the man's servant. You are God's servant. How can he judge you when he is basing everything that he trusts in by the spirit of man, not by the spirit of God? It's foolishness unto him. So how can he judge you when he hasn't received the spirit himself? Let's look at verse 16. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. See that having the mind of Christ is different from having the mind of this world, having man's wisdom. There's a difference there. Whereas you see that he may instruct him. You notice words being used here about the Holy Ghost teacheth or instruct. This is the Son being educated here. He's being educated in the things of God, the deep things of God. Now, when God searches the heart, what does he hope to find? Why does he search the heart? And we see the Lord searches the heart. He's searching it to find that son who is one that's the called according to his purpose. Let's look at 2 Corinthians. Take a look at 2 Corinthians here. And we're going to look at about that enlarging of the heart, about what ought to take place, about how that son ought to be looked upon by his father, how he ought to be one that is understanding the doctrine the way he ought to understand it, having his heart searched or probed. Let's look at 2 Corinthians here, and let's look at chapter 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Let's take a look at, let's start at verse 11. O ye Corinthians, our mouth is open unto you, our heart is enlarged. Ye are not straitened in us, but ye are straitened in your own bowels. Now for recompense in the same, I speak as unto my children, be ye also enlarged. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? Or what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them, and I will walk in them. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore come out from among them, and be separate, saith the Lord. And touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. And I will be a father unto you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Now, you know, God could have just had Paul write this down, and he could have just said, I will be their God, and they shall be my people, and I will be a father, and I saith the Lord Almighty. You know, he could have left off everything else about that father to son and father to daughter relationship there. He didn't have to say, wherefore come out from among them and be separate. He could have just said, I'm the Lord Almighty. If you don't, then I will punish you. But that's not the father-to-son relationship there. That's not that father-to-son relationship. When we looked at this earlier, we even went down into chapter 7 there about those promises. And as far as having, therefore, these promises. And he's talking about that, how that son ought to be. We looked earlier about the heart, being straightened in your own bowels and what that straightening means. When you're not able to get that knowledge in, you're restricting, your inner man is restricted to getting that knowledge. But God is beseeching you to enlarge your heart, clean house with your old loves, your old desires, your old wants and necessities, and not going after your own ways, but going after the way of the Lord, the way of God. Here it says, you can't do both. You can't be partakers of the table of devils and the table of the Lord. You can't be partakers of both there. And the Lord is beseeching that you come out from among them. The only way he can dwell in you and walk in you and be your God, and you be his people, is that you, verse 17, come out from there from among them and be separate. Touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. And will be a father unto you. That's the only way that father-to-son doctrine can work, relationship can work. It's the only way that sonship, what's being... you have to follow a curriculum there. You have to understand how you are to be taught of the Spirit, how you're able to take the doctrine and apply it onto you. But that's what God wants. He wants your heart enlarged. He wants your heart to be wise. Now let's take a look at this. Let's come back to Proverbs again. We should have dealt with this while we were back there. Let's go to Proverbs. Let's look at chapter 23. Proverbs 23. And let's take a look at verse 15. Proverbs 23, let's look at verse 15. My son, if thine heart be wise, my heart shall rejoice, even mine. Yea, my reins shall rejoice when thy lips speak right things. I want to stop there. You see the words that's being used when talking about the inner man? You see the word heart be used. But the things we've looked at so far. You've seen words like inward parts or you straighten in your own bowels. And you see here the Lord said, my reins shall rejoice. And it's talking about that inward man. Let's just read on here. Verse 16. Yea, my reins shall rejoice when thy lips speak right things. Let not thine heart envy sinners. Be thou in the fear of the Lord all day long. For surely there is an end, and thine expectation shall not be cut off. Hear thou, my son, and be wise, and guide thine heart in the way. And notice, verse 15. My son. See, it's not like when you're looking at chapter 2 Corinthians chapter 6, when the Lord said, and I will be a father unto you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Now, that father-to-son relationship you see here, my son, that's going to be said to a saint that is making his ways according to his father's teaching. If thy heart be wise, my heart shall rejoice, even mine. And again, when we looked at this before, we've seen how our hearts are. When our children are wise concerning what we've taught them, how our heart rejoices, how when their lips speak right things, our reins, our inward parts rejoice. Just as being said here in verse 16, let not thine heart envy sinners. That's a great saying there, because most of the time, oftentimes, if not all the time, when people are going after this world, it's because they're envying what this world has. They're envying this world's system. They want that. When you envy someone, you have a desire. You have it's not looked upon as being a hatred. It's looked upon as you wanting that. You look upon that and saying, I just envy that. I envy that person. You envy that person because you want after what they have. You can be envious because you want what they have. You passionately will go at all lengths to attain that. But be thou in the fear of the Lord all the day long. You notice the difference there? When you're fearing the Lord all the day long, you're not going to be envying after this world. But you're going to want, you notice the word that fear is being used there? Verse 18, for surely there is an end, and thine expectation shall not be cut off. Hear thou, my son, and be wise. Guide thine heart in the way. You notice it says, hear thou, and be wise. Guide thine heart in the way. What way? In the way of sinners? No, not in the way of sinners, but in the way of the Lord. And that's that heart guiding. It's not saying God's going to guide that heart. You're going to be the one doing it. You can be your own worst enemy. Let's look at, now let's come back to 2 Corinthians. No one's all over the place, but I just wanted to touch on that issue as we were speaking about the about that when God's talking about how be father unto you should be my sons and daughters. And let's look at 2 Corinthians. Let's come to chapter 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, and we're going to close here. Let's look at that whole issue of about that heart writing. About that heart writing there. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. And let's look at verse 1. Do we begin to commend ourselves, or need we, as some others, epistles of condemnation to you, or letters of condemnation from you? Well, let me say that again. It's not condemnation. One more time. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 1. Do we begin again to commend ourselves, or need we, as some others, epistles of commendation to you, or letters of commendation from you? Ye are our epistle written in our hearts, known and read of all men, for as much as ye are manifestly declared to be the epistle of Christ ministered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not in tables of stone, but in fleshly tables of the heart. As such trust we have through Christ to Godward, not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God, who hath also made us able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. And you see, this is that New Testament doctrine here. And most, especially in the grace movement, will say, hey, wait a minute, we're not partakers of the new covenant. And we went over that issue there about how that we are partakers of the new covenant. And that's what, you know, they'll say, well, that says that's talking to Israel and Judah. Well, but wasn't justification, wasn't we ones, as Ephesians chapter 2 talks about, aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, without God, having no hope in the world? That was our state, twice dead Gentiles. And I don't want to get back off into that again. If you have any trouble with that, you could always go to One Lord, One Faith, One Baptism.net, and you could take a look at some of the studies there on the New Testament, the New Covenant. But this is what's being spoken of here, and that's what's being written that on our hearts. There's verse 2 here. Ye are our epistle written in our hearts, known and read of all men, ministered by us. Not written with ink, but the Spirit of the living God. That's his word. Not in tables of stone, but in fleshly tables of the heart. That's where the Spirit writing is being done. Your heart is a chalkboard. And you're asked to enlarge your heart. And as you enlarge your heart there, and as we've seen in 2 Corinthians chapter 6 about the Lord said, wherefore come out from among them and be separate, saith the Lord, touch not the unclean thing, and I'll receive you. Because when you're not walking according to the table of devils, but you're walking according to the table of the Lord, you're going to understand that father to son relationship there. You're going to have that large, enlarged heart. You're not going to be straightening your own bowels. You're going to get in that doctrine. The Spirit of the living God is going to be living within you. It's going to be done on the fleshly tables of the heart. And when the Lord searches the heart, when that searching comes on, takes place there of the heart, when it says, and he that searcheth the heart knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, he's going to understand and see if you are walking accordingly the way we've been, the verses we've been looking at. He's going to see there that, okay, these saints are walking according to the will of God. These are the ones who are the called according to his purpose. And that's what should be seen there. And even looking at the Proverbs, we don't have to go there right now, but we went there last week. We've seen Proverbs chapter 2. It says, my son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, and incline thy ear to wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding. That's all that you're hearing. And we see in Proverbs 23, hear thou, my son, and be wise. Guide thine heart in the way. That's about the son wanting to cry of a father. And the Proverbs talks of, Proverbs 3 talks of, 2:3, if thou criest after knowledge, liftest up thy voice for understanding. That's that crying of a father. And as when you cry of a father, you want to be led by the Spirit. There's going to be heart right and done. So when you get to this point here in verse 26 through 27 of Romans chapter 8, you're going to know. You're going to know that all things work together for good that love him, that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. That intercession is going to be made for you because that word of God is going to step in when you don't know what to pray for as you ought. You don't know how to take this. The natural man doesn't know how to deal with God's word in the things of his life, the circumstances of his life. But the Spirit knows. His Spirit understands that because he hath revealed them unto us. And you, as the saint, son and daughter in Christ, ought to be able to take his word, that Spirit, and allow that to allow the Holy Ghost to teach, allow that Spirit to teach you the deep things of God. Now with that, I'm going to close, and I want to thank everyone for listening in to another Thursday night Bible study. And next week we're going to be looking at the issue there in Romans chapter 8 about the We know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. We're going to see that how all things work together for good to them that love God. Again, we're going to close here and thank everyone for listening. Until next week.